When you find a deal on your favorite thing in the McDonald's app and order it, does that technically count as online shopping? Save money with the app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's, prices may vary.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
I'm Martin Cove, Sensei John Kreese from the Cobra Kai TV series and the Karate Kid trilogy. And I'm hosting a new podcast, Cobra Cove, with my own kids, Rachel and Jesse Cove.
We're breaking down Cobra Kai episodes and talking about everything from pop culture to bullying and personal development.
With all kinds of great guests from the TV series, Hollywood, and the mental health world.
Listen to Cobra Cove now at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Podcast One. Do you have a problem with that?
No, Sensei!
I mean, Dad.
Well, we get into some auction prices. We get into the new Vette Z06. We get into the new Bronco Raptor. Lots to discuss in this show. First, there's Geico. Great. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com. Get it on. Got to get it on the church. I'm going to get it on. Welcome to CarCast, Matt Pearl. It's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea over there.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. You know, I just took a quick little trip for the opening ceremonies of Barrett Jackson. Back here for a few days. I'm going to head back out there. But, you know, just lots of buzz kicking off the year in the auction world with Amelia Island coming up as well. It's interesting. Stock market's going down, but we'll see how much longer the car thing goes. It's kind of a weird thing because the stock market's going down. That makes people nervous, but still buying new cars is difficult because of shortages and chip shortages and stuff. So the demand for these collector cars is still pretty high.
Yeah, and it's bleeding into some strange categories, like GMC Cyclones.
Yeah.
And Typhoons and weird 80s trucks and 70s trucks. And
yeah.
It just, it's taking a turn. It was German, it was Mercedes, it was Porsche, and then it kind of trickled down to Z cars and some Datsuns and stuff, and then, you know, Toyota Supras. And now it's just spilling all over the place. Vipers and Dodge, Viper SRT trucks, and, you know, just weird stuff from the early 2000s.
But that's kind of like the lesser expensive collectibles. Like, people kind of kept an eye on, you know, $18,000, $20,000, $30,000 vehicles, and then a lot of them popped. And percentage-wise, you know, they're popping to 50 grand. You're like, oh, my God, that's, you know, 40% pop. Like, what does that mean? What does that do? So people are going, oh, I'm going to go get my 50 grand. And then other people are going, hey, this could keep going. So I'm going to spend 50 grand or whatever on a, you know, on an SRT truck or Cyclone or something.
Seems like the switch is from your, you know, it used to be sports cars that you collected, and it, you know, got down to the Datsun 2000 Roadsters and some things of that nature, two-seaters, mm-hmm. convertibles, that kind of stuff, 60s, early 70s. Now it's shifted from the sports cars into the Utes and the trucks and the Broncos and the Blazers, and it's taken this sort of shift to these bigger off-roady, and then, you know, American Muscle stuff, some of the rare Mustangs, and, you know, the stuff that just wasn't on the docket, you know, Vipers and Mustangs wasn't really a thing. I mean, unless they're, you know, real vintage Mustangs.
It's some of the things that I don't understand is there's a handful of these cars that you're talking about that are popping up at auctions and bring a trailer with almost no miles on them. And some of them, like anything that's limited production, arguably has some value later. But when you have just a turnkey, you know, 89 Fox Body Mustang, and you're like, it's got 800 miles on it. I'm like, but why? Why? Where did it go? What was it doing that nobody ever drove a stock Mustang? Or, you know, there's a few things like an Integra Type R. You're like, oh, that's a cool car. But now this one pops up in, you know, someplace and it doesn't have any miles. Before we even thought about any of these cars being collectible or worth something, I don't know who is the guy or the gal that said, hey, I'm going to get a Fox Body Mustang or a stock Camaro or a stock truck. Just a hey, I got a really nice, you know, 95 Ford Bronco and I never drove it.
Yeah. Saying this car, which is not a great car, but it still has the original paper foot mats from the dealership, that's not intriguing to me. It's still a crappy car. It's just
yeah.
Brand new. I mean, I get there's a category for everybody, but I kind of wonder if the craze of the low mileage thing is even I don't know if it's going to last the test of time.
Right, because we're not talking about cars that are particularly special other than the low miles. So right. I always wondered, like, why did you even keep it low miles? It wasn't a special car to begin with, you know.
Right.
You know, back in the day, if you got, you know, the Corvette ZR1 with the crazy four-valve engine, and you're like, yeah, this is different. We know it's going to be limited. You know, maybe you put 2,000 or 3,000 miles on it, and then you kind of hold it out there. I get it. But if you say, hey, it's a bone stock 84 Corvette, I'm never going to drive it and just see what happens one day with, you know, 800 miles on it. That's a weird move.
Well, there's always been those kind of weird guys who get the car, drive it from the dealership, put it up on blocks, you know, hermetically seal the garage. But I'm with you. If whatever it is, I feel the same about architecture. It's like, what if you just got a bad 70s house and you just never moved into it and you just kept it pristine? It's still a bad 70s house. Like that's the way I approach it. But there's a lot of big stuff coming up at auctions, right?
There is. The one that I just got the email about today that I thought would be interesting, because we've talked about Daytonas for so long, but this Ferrari Daytona that's coming up, it's it's a Daytona Spider. It's at RM. It's going on the block. I mean, as you listen to the show, it probably happened already, but we're in here on a Wednesday and things are happening. So I think it's going up tomorrow, Thursday, January 27th, it's going up. But this is kind of an interesting car, right? Because we've seen numbers of Daytona go from hundreds of thousands to millions, depending on what it was. And now we're talking about V12, convertible, interesting color, this silver, number 31 of 121 built. And I'm trying to figure out, and only 14 in this color. I get they start to make it more and more rare with whatever they can.
The 18th left-hand drive Ferrari Daytona in silver to leave the factory. Like at some point, it just is diminishing returns. But the convertibles have always been worth quite a bit more, probably about four or five times as much as the coupes. And the converted convertibles are worth probably less than the coupes.
Yeah. You know, and then we talk about the celebrity factor. Sometimes it makes a difference. Sometimes it doesn't make a difference. You know, sometimes, you know, Elton John rolls out three wacky, a Rolls Royce, at an auction. It doesn't move the needle. But do you think actor or the director, Sidney Pollack, this was his car. I don't think it moves the needle on this one.
John Lennon doesn't move the needle. Yeah. Paul McCartney doesn't move the needle. Elton John, as you mentioned, doesn't really move the needle.
I mean, it's a cool little thing to say, yeah, Sidney Pollack owned it, whatever, and maybe it ends up, you know, maybe the Peterson wants to borrow it for their Hollywood, you know, thing for, right. you know, for 9 months. But I don't think it moves the needle on price with this car. I think the car is special enough.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have, it certainly doesn't have, you know, the McQueen factor in it. It doesn't really have, you know, I don't know. I just don't, I don't think it does it. But it's a cool car. It's, the estimate is 2.4 to 2.8 million.
And is this online?
I believe this is, I think RM is doing the event and Gooding is doing the online version. So that's.
Well, we'll figure it out.
Yeah. Now, the VIG on this is going to be.
Phoenix.
Yeah, Phoenix. I think the VIG on this is a little higher, maybe because the car isn't owned by someone in the U.S. I don't know the full details on it, but they're saying it's 12% on stuff over 250,000, or in, at least in this particular car, and 10%. Let me see if that's
should
right.
be the other way around.
12%
on
up
under.
To yeah, up to 250,000, which is weird because it's 2.4 to 2.8 million, and then 10%. I was like, but on the first 250, do you pay the?
No.
Man, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I think it's just 10%.
I was at the Mercedes dealership last night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Took Natalia out to look at cars. Not that she deserves a car, but I looked at one. Anyway, the guy said, I think the E's were going, or S's, whatever, over sticker.
Everything.
Is what the new one is. And they're pretty much gone when they get there. So there's none of that. The other thing I thought was...
But same thing with like a Kia Telluride, as we've mentioned before. Like that's kind of where we are right now.
Yeah. The other thing I was interested in is a three... Well, this is what the guy said, but I don't know if it made all the sense in the world. Well, he said Mercedes doing no more V6s. So he said they're just doing 2 liters.
Okay.
And the C-Class, the C... 300 has a 2 liter turbocharged, and that the E350 has a V8. And I thought 3.5 V8? It's a 350, and then is 350 even the displacement, or is everything just out the window now?
He
said
I honestly,
no more V6s. But he was 26 years old.
Yeah, it's I mean, I guess it's possible. It doesn't seem right. It sounds like most of the V8s I think they're doing are if they're doing them, they're in the bigger AMG cars.
Yeah.
I don't even know there's a lot of non-AMG cars that are doing the 8. I thought 6 is kind of the way to go. It seems like an interesting move to me.
See if Mercedes is doing the V6 anyway. He said no more V6s. They had a big AMG, I don't know what, on there. It was the big four-door, kind of low-slung, but not the SUV, you know, kind of what, you know, what Porsche has, but in Mercedes. And
like a CLS.
Yeah, it was like $172 or something with the sticker price.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Is that with their markup? What are they?
I have no.
Market adjustment. I don't even know if they write it down in there.
I just looked at it, and so we jumped in a couple of convertibles, and of course Natalia liked the E series a lot better because she liked the interior a lot more, and I was like, yeah, because that's $20,000 more than the C series. C, you know, little plain Jane. I don't really even know where Mercedes is right now, but seems like they got good product. I don't know where they're at with market share.
You know, they're doing well. They do have a good product. I know a lot of their vehicles rank very highly, the top of the list in their categories on Edmunds. You know, mostly we're looking at SUVs, But, you know, I don't know, just like styling these days, it never really caught my attention. I'm looking at some of the SUVs and some of the cars, and they look kind of odd and kind of bubbly. And the new EV that they have out, the EQS, I think, fantastic specs, 400 and something mile range. I just can't get over the look of it. It's just too weird looking to me. It's too, I don't know, bubbly and weird. And I get, they're like, yeah, but it's the most aerodynamic production car you can buy. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. I get why it looks that way. I just don't like it. You know, same thing with the new BMW. It's like, I get why it looks that way, you know, with the efficiency and the cooling, but those big buck tooth grille on the front of the BMWs, it's just not doing anything for me at all. So I don't know. I think you have to appeal visually to people that gets them in the door, and then you can sell them on quality and stuff. I think Mercedes is doing very well.
So Mercedes announced its dealers in August, almost all V8s are suspended for 2022 in the U.S. So this guy said Mercedes not building any more V6s.
Yeah, which would seem weird because I think everything has a 6 or a 4.
He meant V8s.
He meant V8s. And do we know that they're canceling the V8 permanently? Other than the AMG cars, possibly? Or are they saying, we're not making any of the V8, like, S-classes or something because supply chain, whatever, and we're just not doing it? I get they're going to probably phase it out at some point, but it's a little unclear as to why.
They said, yeah, almost all V8s, including all AMGs, are dead for the U.S. market for 2022 due to supply chain issues.
So, yeah. So that's saying it's done forever.
Uh-huh.
They're just saying, for now, it's fine. But mm-hmm. probably if you want to go to the dealer and order, you know, your G-Wagon V8 AMG, you know, the G63, you probably could still get it, you know, in 18 months from now or 2 years from now until they start doing more and more of the EVs and hybrids. But right now there's not a lot in their lineup.
There's some 935s coming up for sale. That's at yeah. Amelia Island. I hadn't even seen these.
Yeah,
and
this
IROC Porsche as well, 74. I think there's, oh wow, got some good stuff. Now, it looks like one of those 935s was the one that they were trying to sell a while back, which was the Chandler. I think the family that owns the Los Angeles Times or owned the Los Angeles Times. I think they were trying to sell the blue Sunoco looking one that's out there. And I think they brought it to Amelia Island or something a couple of years ago and it didn't sell.
You're right.
Oh, I'm right. The other looks like a Interscope, and they tried to sell an Interscope recently too, but this is a different Interscope. Interscope had a lot of Porsches, evidently.
Yeah.
They race those things. And then a Foyt 911 IROC, which is kind of cool. And then a Brumos 934, looks like we're looking at 934 and a half. Kind of hard to tell. There was or maybe it's an RSR. I don't know. What is that?
It's Brumos? An RSR.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah. So we got a 74 RSR IROC and a 74 RSR mm-hmm. are the two cars. The RSR IROC estimated 1.1 to 1.3 million, and the other RSR is estimated at 800,000 to 1.2 million.
The category that has been pretty flat for a couple of years is the high-end Porsches, the 935s yeah. and 917s. Trying to think, some of the, you know, dedicated race car high-end stuff, 959? No, not 959. It's too many numbers now. Let's see, what the Hotchkiss guys have? They have that 962.
62.
there's too many. But the point is that category has been flat.
Yeah.
For a couple of years.
Yeah.
They keep thinking they're going to get some big numbers, and they haven't really been getting the big numbers on the big Porsche race cars.
The blue the blue 935 and then the black Interscope car. The blue one is estimated at 1.5 to 1.8 million, and the Interscope car, the black 935, both 1979, is 1.7 to 2 million for the Interscope 935. Maybe it's just me, but I just kind of felt like, I feel like these numbers are like a little light for 935s. So wasn't kind of the entry price for the 935 at about $2 million?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think there's been an adjustment with these cars. People are pretty pie in the sky, and they've kind of flattened out, and I think people have adjusted on them because the category that's been going up is the newer special order sort of, you know, 2000s, you know, the Porsche category that's been going is the street category, the GT3 and the GT2s, and
yeah,
you
Carrera
ordered
GT,
them, you got the center locks, and you got this delete, and, you know, radio yeah. delete or something, and you got the six-speed manual. Those things are going berserk, like the street yeah. version. And you'd kind of think that the top of the food chainers, the 962s and the 917s and some of the rare like 550 Spider race cars, kind of James Dean, 935s, RSRs, you go, oh, well, those aren't moving.
Yeah.
Those have been like, you know, there was a 917 was a no sale last year at Pebble Beach, mm-hmm. I think. There's a, you know, 935 that just sold, maybe kind of the little below the minimum estimate, the low estimate. Like the upper food chain Porsches aren't moving out of just about any category, and they haven't really moved in the last few years. The category that has moved with the upper food chain Porsches are, you know, the Paris to Dakar, mm-hmm. like the 959 Rothman, you know, that won the Paris to Dakar in, you know, 1981 or whatever. Those, for some reason, the off-road weird version
yeah.
have been those have jumped up a ton. But the crazy race and crazy race cars in general that were kind of going nuts, I mean, you know, Ferrari GTOs aside, they've just been kind of flat for the last few years.
And I think Porsche is going to be releasing another limited car. They love their limited cars. I think they're going to do like a safari version of a brand new modern 911.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was some teaser photo or something that came out saying, you know, Porsche is preparing for their safari 911. You know, it's kind of interesting because it's like, on some level, you're like, who buys it? What's it for? Get one of the SUVs. But the truth is it's for the collector, right?
Right.
It's just something else to collect. And that for that Porsche audience who loves
right.
to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. We're looking at one now. Yeah. That's, and there've been a few clones and tributes and replicas. I know they all mean the same thing, but there's been, you know, you've seen some guys do the Rothman style Paris to Dakar 911,
yeah.
you know, and that's kind of the trendy thing. And if you kind of makes sense, because I was saying at the top of the show that we're looking at it. Looks good.
Someone in my neighborhood has the like a Cayenne, just, and it's all wrapped the Rothman style.
That guy's a douche. Or I love him. The point is we're talking about the market is now trucks and off-road and Broncos and stuff like that. And the category that's been kind of lagging is the sports car, street car, two-seater,
yeah.
whatever. And this is kind of saying, all right, let's take the off-road vibe and cram it up the tailpipe of the two-seater.
Right, and charge a premium to collectors, and why not?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I think a lot of it sometimes is just Porsche kind of flexing their, you know, design muscle, just going, we can do whatever we want. Let's do something cool.
Yeah, it's funny because if you think about it, this is a company that's done so many interesting things in their past. They can always lean on that heritage again and go, oh, yeah, we can get away with a Safari 911. you know, kind of an off-roading 911. And we can get away with, you know, this and that because they have some taste of that historically, and it makes it kind of interesting again.
Yeah, you know, it'd be interesting. Weirdly, Datsun Z cars have a big off-road, Baja 1000 kind of history, and probably done some Paris to Dakar too stuff. They've done a lot of rallying and stuff like that. I'm sure Nissan's not even dreaming of it, but a Z version of that.
Like the modern Z, the brand new Z that we saw, right?
Right.
The Proto, doing kind of a safari off-road version of that.
Yeah. Harkening back to BRE and the Zs and the Baja 500, and they probably did a lot of European rallying and stuff like that. Like that. That would be a cool piece.
Yeah, that'd be a cool piece to do, which is interesting. I just sat down with at a SEMA conference and met with all the aftermarket companies and kind of what's going on with them and what are they developing. And, you know, we talked a lot about EV and stuff, but the big push, just all the money, the parts they've made this year, the money they brought in is you're right, it's the off-road thing. It's just like people are, you know, during lockdowns and COVID, it kind of gave everybody the thought of, hey, maybe I can explore the outdoors again. I mean, why be cooped up inside? You can go outside in the nature, take your mask off. And people just started just really leaning into all the off-road stuff, and they're selling tons of gear. And I'm sure it's just beyond the automotive aftermarket. Like, I'm sure REI is having a really good year.
Yeah, I see tents all over the city.
Yeah, right. So
they're crushing it.
Yeah, they're crushing it.
Well, but
the gear for that stuff is doing really well.
I think it transcends the get out and hit the open trail, and which is part of it, you know, with COVID and everything. But I think there's also a weird kind of urban fear part, like people are picturing themselves turning down a street and getting into the middle of a Black Lives Matter rally and like all of a sudden having to throw the thing in reverse and pop up over the curb, you know, yeah, and push a car out of the way and hightail it back to suburbia. Like, I think there's a little urban element.
That's why I don't go to Beverly Hills.
Of going down the street and you got a bunch of homeless people around you, and you got to, like, it's not enough just to, you know, you may have to hop up on the curb and you may have to push something out of the way.
Yeah.
And I need a brush guard and a little ground clearance for that. I think there's an element of that going on.
Thank
too.
God for the Safari 911.
Yeah.
they're making the right move.
Because I just don't, it can't, there's no way seeing all these Jeeps and all these Raptors and all these T-Rexes and everything roaming up and down the streets of Santa Monica and Malibu. I never see any mud on any of those cars.
No.
And people leave the mud on the car because it's like the guys leave the when I was in junior high, you know, we never went skiing, of course, because it's like rentals and money and somewhere and something. But the guys who did, they would come back to school after the winter break and they'd have their lift pass swinging around their parka.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just leave it on there for 2 months. So you could understand that their family loved them way more than your broke ass family loves you. And it was a thing. And I think guys do that with mud on their trucks. Like when the guys who really go out womping it, they want to let the neighborhood know, hey, man, this ain't for taking down to the Whole Foods.
There's another guy. There's a guy that especially where in high school for me, like South Florida, you hit the drag strip on the weekend. You show up at, you know, your high school parking lot with the marker in the window.
You got to have the shoe polish marker
in the window.
That shoe polish number on the
sign. I race. I race. I take it to the track, buddy.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's your little I voted sticker
that you leave on for two days.
I gave blood.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what it is. You have
Why'd you leave it on the window? I just didn't wash it yet. Are you going to wash it at all this month? Probably not.
Right. So I'm not seeing a lot of mud on any of those trucks.
No.
I think it's more of a urban freakout situation. I think it's more of we don't know when the shit's going down, and when we do, we may have, you know, stuck in traffic, we may have to hop up and barrel over a couple of Priuses.
Like you like think World War Z is fiction, but there's a version of it that's getting close.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Night of the Living Dead, just they're not actually dead. They're not undead.
I still never figured out, Max Zapata, what happened with Schwarzenegger and his arrow, his left arrow thing. I couldn't really figure out.
I saw that too, and he just basically ran over a Prius in his, yes. in his. And then was there another car? Somebody then hit
from
behind?
Porsche. Yeah. There was a Porsche in there. Yeah.
And yeah. So where this was like sunset right off the 405, like it the sunset exit kind of by the Getty-ish.
Yeah, it's, sunset in Allenford.
Okay.
I don't know where Allenford. We don't know. Or nobody okay. knows where. People live on Allenford. They don't know where Allenford is. So, but
you ask them where they live, they say sunset in the 405.
I saw a picture, but you know, I wasn't, I don't know if I was telling you about this, but you know, I was after PCH had a few mudslides and I got diverted over to Sunset to try to get back to Malibu and was like sitting there and giant eucalyptus tree, 100 years old, just fell over like right in the middle of the street and knocked the power lines down and there were sparks and transformers blowing up. And I was like, I'm glad I'm not in a little convertible at this point.
Yeah,
like it was raining cats and dogs. There may, you know, the sparks everywhere, tree falling down. Like I'm like, I get it. People want to be able to drive over a tree trunk and get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
And so I think we're kind of getting there. And any, you know, the Prius is basically a wedge.
Mm-hmm.
At least
it is when you have an Escalade,
right? Certain years. And I don't think he had an Escalade. He had a GMC Denali, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
Probably the same platform.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, he just drove over the top. But I know he turned left against the red arrow.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the hell else was going on.
Nobody else is really reporting it. BBC says that the Prius was trying to make a U-turn during that.
Oh, that's what.
Oh, that always does kind of throw you off. When you're in a rush and everyone's in a rush to catch a light in L.A.
Right.
Right? And now I kind of see what's going on. I'm trying to picture which directions that they were going to make it happen. Oh, so he was making a left turn and then this Prius maybe in front of him coming toward him was making a U-turn?
Or going the other direction. And was making a U-turn and turned back.
Oh, turned back toward him.
As he was possible.
I get it. So the Prius maybe was
in front of him. No, actually, well, yeah. Could have turned. Yeah, I think the Prius was doing a U-turn as he was going forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Might be on the U-turn person.
Kind of on the U-turn person.
U-turn is not what we plan on.
I saw it, you know, I saw TMZ's article and the articles about saying, you know, Schwarzenegger's in this accident. He was very nice and apologetic, but nobody really said whose fault it was. I was trying to do the math on this, going whose direction it was that, he's got the big GMC. Yeah, that's basically like the Escalade. So
right.
Now this Porsche Taycan behind him is,
I guess,
which is why he couldn't back off the hood of the.
I have no.
Because the Porsche guy's like, oh, you got a scratch on the front. I'm not moving my car.
Everyone just leaves everything where it is now. Yeah. My thing is like back it the fuck out and get out of there. Yeah. Although airbag deploys and you can't start the car. I don't know. You know, what happens once the airbag deploys? I mean, you have to reset it, right? I don't.
Yeah. That's a good question. Does the vehicle start? Does it?
Chris, see if a vehicle, after the airbag deploys, if you can start the vehicle and move the vehicle.
Do you think he hit OnStar and had a conversation?
Yeah, I'm sure.
They're like, we saw that the airbag's deployed. Are you okay?
I'll be back.
I'm saying most vehicles will not start.
Most, yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, so yeah, it looks like the Prius was trying to hook a Huey.
I mean, there's carnage, but everybody looks fine. Like the cabin of all of these cars are fine. It doesn't even look like honestly, I don't even see broken glass on the windshield. I don't even see, like, everybody just got out of the car, right? And they were just fine.
Yeah, I know. I think the driver of the Prius went to the hospital and,
her
you
head
know.
Was bleeding.
But as soon as they found out, you know, now it's Schwarzenegger. He got some deep pockets in there, so.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
You think they cut their head a little, like WWE style?
Put a piece of glass in their hand and, like, smack themselves on the head. Yeah, WWE style.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I don't know what happened.
Mm.
I swear I was wearing my seatbelt, though.
I wonder where is that? Is that close to the 405? I had it as down a little further down Sunset toward the beach, but...
I guess, so they said a mile from his house. I think he lives in Santa Monica, so maybe that's where, down to that area.
Uh-huh. Well, anyway. Let's see. What else is going? Corvette's got a 70th anniversary edition of the C8 and the Z06.
Yeah, it's an interesting trim package that they're going to do, but to be able to do it on the regular C8 or the Z06 is interesting. One's black with... like red trim on the wheels and I think red interior, and then there's the white one that has a different trim on the wheels. It looks kind of interesting. I tell you, I you know, when I just popped over for the opening gala event for Barrett Jackson, went through the vendor booths before people were there during the setup day, and they got the Z06 in that GM booth. And this thing is just, I mean, you're talking mid-engine, crazy wings and canards on the track pack. You know, the 0 to 60 on these cars is sub-3 second, flat plane crank V8, high winding. And at around 100, maybe 100 something grand, it's like, it's tough. This is McLaren's 720S and Ferrari 488 performance.
Right.
In a car that's a fourth the cost.
Right.
You know, it's like, it's really kind of hard to beat that car. And everyone that has a C8 is just saying how great it is. A guy like Ken Lingenfelder is saying, I'm not sure how far I can go with these cars because they're so good and they're actually really nice to drive.
Yeah. And that's another example of a car that you could get the limited edition, get all the bells and the whistles, upgrade brakes or suspension or track pack or whatever it is, and hang on to that thing. And the way things are going, it's going to definitely follow in, you know, look, if Dodge Vipers can catch fire as of late, then certainly that
it's
car
interesting
would.
Example to say catch fire, but sure, I think you meant value. Not literally catch on fire.
Well, catch fire from a collector standpoint.
Yeah.
It's a phrase.
It's a phrase. No, just because they run a little hot.
Do they?
Yeah. Especially, you know, the side pipes when everyone burned them.
Oh, yeah.
And then they had to do the rear exhaust because everyone was burning themselves.
Yeah. I miss those side pipes, man.
Yeah. Even when they kind of hit it in the fiberglass panels, the fiberglass got too hot. So now you didn't even see the exhaust pipe as much. And then you're just like, oh, I'm just going to put my foot out and it's still freaking hot. So then I got to redo the exhaust a little bit. But I think the Corvette C8 is a great sports car, and I think the Z06 is going to just be a crazy machine and a collectible. But
and they're going to show up at Le Mans, right?
They've got to, right? They've got to show up. I mean, Corvette for sure. I'm not sure what they have to do to the engine for that. I'm not up to snuff on the specs for that. But I imagine some of the aero and things that they figured out on the probably on the racing team applied to the Z06 track pack, and then it's probably going to look similar to that.
The Le Mans version of that car probably be detuned.
Yeah.
Probably be down 200 horsepower.
Yeah. Speaking of racing, I didn't get a chance to look this up. Chris, maybe you can find it, but Daytona was this weekend, and I know our friend Simon Pagenaud was out there in his new Meyer Shank Racing car. I think he qualified P4. Do we know kind of what the results were of Daytona? Be curious to look that up. But the other thing that came out this week, the big announcement, is the Ford Bronco Raptor.
All right.
So 37-inch tires, bigger, wider. And I was talking with Alistair from Edmunds, and we had this conversation about It's only in the four-door, which is obviously the longer wheelbase than the two-door. It has the 3-liter turbo V6 out of the Ford Explorer ST. So they're saying 400 horsepower or 400 plus. They didn't give an exact number. You know, it could be 410, 415. Paddle shifters. And it's wide, much wider than the regular Bronco. So the thought was maybe not the best for rock crawling, but the theme of Raptor was always kind of high speed off-roading. But because Ford wants to kind of build Bronco as a brand, this does open the idea up of Ford doing another version, maybe Raptor, maybe not a Raptor, that isn't the four-door, maybe the shorter wheelbase, narrower, slower speed rock climbing version.
Uh-huh.
You know, so you can get the all over Bronco, then you can get a Raptor for your high speed off roadiness and arguably a little bit limited production, and then maybe some other version that's more off roady. But it's interesting they're building a hell of a brand out of this Bronco marquee.
God love Ford, American cars back. I mean, and nice to see the Mustang and the Bronco, you know, back stronger than ever. All right, we're going to have to cut it a little bit short because of my schedule today.
Yeah.
The Brea Improv, February 6th, going to be doing two live shows there. Bill Shatner will be up on one of them, and Dennis Quaid will be up on the other. And then Spokane, Washington, that'll be February 17th, and Tacoma, that'll be February 18th, 19th. You go to adamcarolla.com. And you can get tickets to all that stuff and pre-order my book, which is coming out July 19th at adamcarolla.com. What do you got, Motorator?
Just follow me on Instagram at Motorator. I'll be posting from the auctions from Barrett's.
So, till next time, Adam Carolla for Matt, the Motorator, DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
With the $5 meal deal at McDonald's, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Price and participation may vary for a limited time only.